Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Welcome back to Right on Four Corners. I'm your host, Delcherie Gladden. I'm the author of over 30 published novels. And on this week's episode, I have Catherine Davis here, and she's going to be talking about some of her writings and her work with the Historical Society. Catherine, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Catherine Davis. I'm a member of the San Juan County Historical Society since 1997. I also worked as a collections manager for the Farmington Museum from 1998 to 2004.
How did you originally get interested in working with the museum and the Historical Society, and has this always been an area of interest for you?
Yes, I have always enjoyed history. I did well in school in history. History is just awesome. The Historical Society has done a great job at publishing books that will allow you to learn a lot about not only Farmington, but Aztec and the surrounding communities and everything about it. The railroad, the abandoned cemeteries, anything you want to know, the Historical Society has probably written a book on it.
And how many of them, because when I was looking at the website, there's a fair amount, probably close to, around 20, if I remember right, somewhere in there. How many of them have you participated in?
And five.
So you've worked on five of them. The one that I had the opportunity to check out was A Railroad Here, Meet the Red Apple Flyer. And this was such a fun one because I didn't really know a lot of the history of this part of the county. I knew there was one.
A lot of people don't even know that there was a railroad here. The depot was located, if you go south on Barron, where it curves to Elm Street, you'll notice there's a big curve to the right. The depot was right there. You would have gone into the back door of the depot, and street went around it.
It's interesting to know, because, you kind of look at some of the streets, especially downtown, and you're like, what's going on here when they put these together? So there's an answer for one of those questions.
Yep. And the answer for the streets not lining up is the AF and Julie Miller not getting a divorce, and they vowed that the streets would not ever match up with each other. So that's why Miller and Court and Wall and all those streets there till Orchard, even Orchard is a little offset.
And that was a fun part of learning more about the railroad, was the people involved in it and with them, their history and how much they impacted the development of Farmington in general in some of the downtown areas of that. Tell me about how you researched that part of it, because that was something I didn't really know a lot of. And people have questions about small towns, but they don't necessarily know where to go to find any of that information.
Well, the Historical Society had a book committee, which I was a part of. I joined in 97, became the president in 98. The book committee got together and decided on different topics. Well, Robert Duke wrote a master's thesis called The Political History of San Juan County. And so two of the board members, Emery and Melba Arnold, knew Robert Duke, and so they wrote him a letter requesting permission to republish his book. So we had to divide it into two, and Mary Lou Wayburn was the person that did the layout, all the work. Fortunately, later on, we did the early years, it was the first part, and then San Juan County roars into the 20s is the second part. So if you buy one, it's not complete unless you buy the other. So you need to buy both of them. There are things that we learn. Every book needs pictures. And if there are more than one edition of it, you need to put that on the front of the book. But Mary Lou had done so much for the Bureau of Land Management, for San Juan County. Her Meet Me at the Fair book was the first one that she did. She volunteered to do all the layout, all the work, all the publishing. I got to be on the editing committee, and Well, we go along and everything is fine. And then 2004, the person that was to do the book on Aztec brought this stuff into the book committee to show what she had been doing. And it was just like a travel guide. Like you could go to the convention and visitor center and pick up a Farmington guide. No history, not one. And it's like, we're a historical society. We are not a convention and visitors bureau. We're a historical site. So when this person left, the book committee was milling around and Mary Lou looked at me and she said, you could do a book on the railroad. And it's like, what? I have never written a book. I have been a contributor. I have been a researcher. I have been a reader. I have never written a book. I don't know the first thing about writing a book. And anyway, she said, I'll help you. And it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Well, it turned out that this first person that was supposed to write a book on Aztec found out that I was supposed to do a book on the railroad. Well, she brought these enlarged copies, and I looked at it, and the first paragraph I read, I thought, I've read this book. It's 65 Years on the Railroad by McGinnis. She took out all the footnotes, all the references. You couldn't find any of this stuff no matter what you did. You know, so it was totally useless. But fortunately, working for the museum, I had access to the original thing. I thought the Historical Society was also given tax records and property ownership, deeds, that kind of stuff. And so it was easy to go back into the tax records and say, hey, the railroad paid this much money this year for taxes. Because Mary Lou said, I don't have enough to finish the book. You need to find more information. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what can I do? What can I do? Where can I go? Because those records were available, it was easy to access them and find the information and then to bring it out. If you were to call in and say, my great-grandfather died here, I think it was in the 30s, but I don't know where he's buried and I'm not sure when he died and I'd like to find out. Salmon Runes had a great group of people called the Totaw Tracers. And the Totaw Tracers went around to every cemetery that they could find and went through all the records and recorded everybody. And abandoned cemeteries, they interviewed people. So it's a great thing. You can look in these cemetery books. It's all indexed in the back, alphabetically. Find out that person. Flip to that page. Find what section, what row, what space he's buried in, and it'll tell you the year of his birth and the year of his death. At least you have those years. You can come up to the college and use the microfilm if you want to see if there's any obituary. You can also go online, and a lot of the newspapers are online now, the old copies, and you can check and see. Me, personally, I just go to the library and say, I need this. Can you find it for me? And they find it a whole lot faster than I can. So I appreciate the service that the library offers. The Historical Society has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families' history. And so it's really important if your family has been here any length of time that you have a history on what your ancestors did while they were here, where they lived, organizations that they belong to, offices that they help, were they involved in politics, were they on school board? There's just a whole lot of information that you can find in those old newspapers. They're just awesome. A lot of us don't know a lot about our family, but I could start with saying, well, this is where they're buried. This is the year he was born. This is the year he died. Now, you can come up here to the San Juan College Library, and you can either go on microfilm or you can go on the internet.
The community in general, with the Historical Society, the museum, the Farmington Museum, I know they've collected some donated materials about the history of the area. We really have a pretty solid interest in documenting and collecting historical information about this area. It's pretty neat.
Well, the Historical Society is incorporated as 501c3, but we deal in documentary artifacts only. We don't deal in typewriters or glasses or clothing, and the Farmington Museum deals in all of that, and the Aztec Museum. But a lot of them have family history files. You can if you call and make an appointment, most of these, they have limited time, limited staff, and they have to budget their time in order to fill your request. And if you call ahead, tell them exactly what you want. Don't say, I want to see the pictures of Farmington. Well, I'm not pulling out 3,500 photographs of Farmington. Is there an event you're interested? Are there families that you're interested? Narrow it down so I can give you the best pictures, the best advice that I possibly can. Like I said, those cemetery books are great for finding out where they're buried. There's a volume one, a volume two, an addendum to one, and then combined everything in one. And that was through Salmon Runes. It was called the San Juan County Museum Association. And they were the county museum before Aztec broke and Farmington broke.
Okay.
So they have a lot of history. Right now, it's like every place else. You're short-staffed, and so it's really hard for someone to arrange for time to go through the files and pull out what you need. So that's why I call in advance. They may be installing an exhibit, or they may be looking at a collection. You're not going to get help that day.
Very good advice. Anyone looking to see some historical documents, plan ahead. Give people a chance to help you in a good manner. It's not as easy as, you know, typing in a Google search. You've got to physically go search for things.
And you really need, if you're interested in the Farmington history, there are books on not only political history of San Juan County, the irrigation. That was a big, you can take my wife, you can take my husband, but by golly, you're not taking my water rights. And people have been killed for less. Their water rights were sacred. Abandoned communities. And then we did Echoes of the Past. That was a, Kelly West and Mary Lou Wayburn and I were going to do a movie.
Oh.
And we had written out a lot of script. And I believe the guy's name was Jason that was going to do the film. And we even found a stagecoach. And the house at Salmon Runes, the Peter Salmon House, was close enough that it looked like the A.F. Miller store back in the late 1880s. We ended up doing three books on Echoes of the Past that talked about people that contributed to this growth of the area. You know, they didn't necessarily have to be maybe they were a teacher that had a lot of influence on a student. Maybe they were a rancher that had cattle that, you know, brought cattle to market, or they had hogs or sheep. We shipped out tons of wool and sheep and turkeys, and people just have no idea. We grew 150 different varieties of apples. It's like, how many can you name? Most students will say red, green, and yellow. I've collected a list of approximately 130 names. I would like to, before I die, at least find those last 20 and see if it's really true. This area was so isolated from the rest of the state, we didn't have a paved road to Albuquerque until the 50s. And then the railroad stopped in the 60s. It never went through to Gallup. You know, it's just the railroad really didn't cooperate with the citizens here. I don't know, they kind of wrote it off as a tax loss, I think. That's just my personal opinion. That's not in the book. Like I said, on the book, there are so many sources that wrote about the Grace Barker Wilson wrote on the railroad. She wrote on statehood. She wrote a lot of research papers on different topics for the area. There is so much available for someone wanting to do research. The Historical Society has put out a lot of books that give you background of people, the railroad, lost communities, and then even the lost communities of Navajo Lake.
That's a really interesting history of, you know, that area, too.
They couldn't do that now, but they did back in the early 60s, you know, just to tell people you've got so many months to move out. And they paid them pennies. And I thought it was just shameful, horrible what the government did.
I can't remember who I was talking to. It was someone involved with the Historical Society. After teaching rowdy ninth graders all day, my memory's a little bit dead. They were telling me a little bit about that history of the communities around Navajo Lake and how there's so much history that's now under under the lake, that it was just, you know, basically
gone. A lot of graves are still under there. They did start a new cemetery, the government, which is surprising, but they asked each family, how many plots do you need? And so they set that section aside for that family. But there's no more descendants. They didn't know that this was going to be all flooded out, so they didn't have the opportunity to come back and move Grandma and Grandpa to a place where they can come and talk to them. And so they're buried under 300, 400, 500 feet of water.
Yeah, and some of those historical buildings, whoever it was I was talking to was talking about some of the churches that were lost and some of those old homesteads. And you think, what an interesting aspect of the history. Our Lady of Guadalupe got moved
for one thing. Mm-hmm. So it's up on the hill and they hold services once a year on Christmas Day. And it's a cool place to go hear a mass. You have people playing guitars. It's just a joyful service, you know. And then afterwards you walk around the church three times and ring a bell. And anyway, then they usually have a great dinner at St. Joseph's.
Glad that was able to be preserved and hold
and
on that to that tradition.
That was our first historic site dedication, was Our Lady of Guadalupe Church.
Now, some of the topics that you've written about, the Red Apple Flyer, the five different ones that you've read, were these topics that you personally had an interest in already, or did someone come to you and say, we'd like someone to write on this, you'd probably be a good fit, what do you think?
Well, the book committee used to meet on a pretty regular basis and try to line out for 5 years what subjects and who would do it. And sometimes somebody will volunteer, like Lee Wooderson. He had been a geologist and had done enough work that he could write a book on the prehistory of this area. And so that was kind of interesting to have someone come forward and volunteer to do a book.
Yeah.
The books that we had written on Echoes of the Past between Mary Lou and I and Kelly did a great job on going online and finding old postcards. And she would buy them so that we could use some pictures in the book. And the Farmington Museum was also good about letting us, the Historical Society, use pictures in the book.
Well, that's really nice because that can be so hard to find, I'm sure.
You know, so it's like, there's a lot available, but if you're not sure, it's like, well, where do I start? But I think reading those early books that the San Juan County Historical Society put out will give you a good background on why this area is so different than the rest of the state. We wanted to be annexed into Colorado. We did petitions on it. We wanted to be Orchard County and be part of Colorado. Most of our goods went up to Colorado. The mail and supplies and everything came down from Colorado. Taking a load of apples in a wagon took days. And if it was cold, they actually built fires underneath the wagon to keep the fruit and vegetables from freezing. There are still so many subjects. You know, we need something on the medical history of the area. The doctors and nurses that were here at the beginning. And I think if you at least read those books on the Historical Society, and in the back you have your references there, and you can go through those and find out more information if you want. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of sources available. You know, like I said, Salmon Runes. The college has a Western room up at the library that you can go in and look through some of these books. Like I said, if you know what you want, if you make arrangements ahead of time, the Aztec Museum or the Farmington Museum, and to some extent even Salmon Runes can try to accommodate you or point you in the right direction to find out what you want. We had a prolific group of people that wrote poetry, that did research on stuff. You would just be amazed at how many writers we have in this area. And I don't think people have a clue.
Yeah, I mean, we've got at least 3 active writing groups in the area. At one time there was more, I think, before COVID. And it's really a big blend of all kinds of writing interests. nonfiction as well. I mean, sometimes people think like writers of books and poems, but we do. We have a really strong community of nonfiction writers as well. And I know a lot of them have gotten involved with the Historical Society in some of their texts, but I think that's a great opportunity for someone who's interested in writing in the history and wanting to contribute something. Go talk to the Historical Society and see how you can help.
Yeah. Well, and then also, just a point of interest, the Farmington Museum is built on the right-of-way of the railroad.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
It came down, and then it came down San Juan Boulevard. You know, there's lots of little things that you can find out in these books. They're for sale at the Farmington Museum, at the Aztec Museum, and some are at Solomon Rooms, and, of course, the Historical Society has all the books.
Mm-hmm.
And
do those proceeds go back into the Historical Society or museum programs?
They go back into the Historical Society because it takes a lot of documentary equipment to safeguard these documentary artifacts, whether it's family history, if it's photographs, it's a certificate, a driver's license. Those kinds of things need to put in archival sleeves, in acid-free folders. Nothing is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So your funds continue to support the Historical Society and to provide those kinds of things that are needed so that if you are checking on your family history, everything is in archival sleeves, or you're more than welcome to have a copy made, or you can take a picture with your phone. You know, we don't care.
Yeah, that's a good option now, bit easier.
So you have these options. They also take donations if you want to give a little bit of money to it.
So it's mostly a volunteer, right? Are there any paid staff with the Historical Society?
There are no paid staff within the Historical Society. It's all volunteers. It's all volunteers to keep the office open. When we first started, we got that little old library on the corner of Chaco and Mesa Verde. It's now all fenced in, but it was built in the 30s by WPA. And when the county gave us, they brought all these tax records and all these newspapers and all these evaluations of properties and just dumped them in the middle of this 300-square-foot room. It had no toilet. It had no running water. It had no cooler. It did have a heater, but it was really scary. So we really didn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
So Troyetta Batley and I could only do 2 hours, and then we'd have to go down the Safeway and use their restroom. So every Monday, we would show up and inventory and catalog as much as possible. Kmart at that time let us buy 15 of the smaller bookcases for $10 a piece.
Oh, wow. That was nice.
And so that helped shelve a lot of stuff and get it off the floor in the middle of the room. Yeah, we did a complete inventory, listed every edition of the newspapers that we'd gotten. We have the Farmington Republican, we have the Farmington Times-Hustler, the Farmington Times, and there's just gobs of other newspapers that we... New Mexico was probably the last state in the United States that most states and counties were supposed to have an issue of every newspaper published. But I really think New Mexico was the last one to do.
So, yeah, I mean, if somebody out there is needing to do historical research on something, you guys have a lot of information available. And I know Debbie Tracy uses a lot of that for her column for the newspaper. and she had mentioned a lot of the photos are not cataloged completely yet. And
no.
That's something that people can volunteer some time if they would like to help.
Yes.
Sort through some of that and make it more easily accessible for people.
Well, Mary Lou Wayburn had spent many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. I think she was probably the first computer nerd in the area. When she worked for the BLM, that was her first exposure to computers, and she was hooked. Mm-hmm. Every 2 years, she upgraded. And her daughter and I had gone through some pictures for the sheriff's book, and it's like, I know what I want. And it's here somewhere. I just don't know how she filed it because it wasn't under courthouse.
No.
She says, well, let me just thumb through these. And if you see something, stop and we'll put it on a jump drive. And so they're going through all those things now.
Wow.
if it hadn't been for Mary Lou, we would have never had the books. You know, she did all the layout, all the pre-publicity, everything, everything for the books. She had an outline, and you had deadlines to meet. And she was never mean, never sarcastic, never belittling. She was always very firm and gentle. You know, you need to have this done by.
Kept everyone moving.
And she would help you all that she could. She helped Dining with the Dead get started. This community just is so much better off with her than, and I miss her just terribly. Kelly and Mary Lou and I had a company for about 5 years, and then we finally decided that we're all retired. We should not be working this hard to do calendars and note cards and that kind of stuff. And so with the money we had left, we went to a very good dinner.
Nice.
And enjoyed it. It was a pleasure and honor to work with her. Kelly was our resident artist. I don't think she was ever happy with colors. She was just changing them just a tad. And it's like, stop it. Stop it. It looks
It's good. Let's move on. Sometimes you need that outside person to say, it's done. We're moving to the next thing.
You know, but she also has a photo of Shiprock that's at the mall on that big wall where Sears was. That's hers. Yeah, she had a good eye. So any questions that I can answer or?
Well, so for people who want to get involved with the Historical Society, I know with Mary Lou's passing and just in general, people come and go, that there's always need for more help. So how can people find out how to get involved and how they can help or donate time or items, more documents to you? Who should they contact or where should they go?
Well, for one, you could probably call first, leave a message. It's 505-334-7637.
And you guys have a Facebook page, right?
Yes.
I think it's printed on there, if just in case. Double check the phone number on the Facebook page. And yeah, reach out. And like I said, it's a volunteer group. So if someone doesn't answer right away, leave a message. And I'm sure someone will return that message as soon as possible.
Yes.
Do they have projects that are up and coming that people can keep an eye out for?
Well, we were hoping to do the sheriff's book, but it's kind of came to a little halt with Mary Lou passing. I don't really know if I'll be able to finish it or not. Somebody else may have to pick it up and run with it.
Maybe. New volunteers, something they can join in on.
But I'm back at the Farmington Museum, working with the collections, just finished cataloging close to 1,000 oil cans.
Oh, wow.
From Alan Hawkinson collection. That's been a big project to work with.
Well, thank you for taking the time to come in and talk. Anybody who's interested in learning more about the history of San Juan County, definitely reach out to the Historical Society. Check out the variety of books that they've covered. There's quite a good range of topics, I think, and a lot of it is really fun, interesting stuff that most people probably did not know about this area and I think would really enjoy learning about.
Well, then also on October 6th, we will be part of the Apple Chili Fest that will be going on. You can check out our books and we'll be at Artifacts at 302 East Main, and it'll be from 4:30 to 7:30. And then there will be probably several tables because we've got 23 books. And then downtown Farmington, October 7th from 11 to 3 p.m. There's a display on apple recipes, and you can also purchase a railroad here and one of 23 books.
Wonderful. Yeah, if you're interested, stop by then.
Bring your checkbook.
Yes. Cash or checkbooks, yeah. All right. Well, thank you again so much, Catherine. I really enjoyed chatting with you and learning more about the Historical Society and all the work that they've done to help preserve the history of this area.
It's been enjoyable. It really has. All the different things you've gotten to see and people you've gotten to meet and things you've got to do. And, you know, just being Joe Blow on the street wouldn't have enriched my little pea brain so much.
Wonderful. Well, I hope people check it out and come see how they can help the effort.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.